we've all got a lot to thank God for. We might not do it. We might not thank Him like we ought to. But it's not because we don't have much to thank Him for.
Amen.
And God's been good to us. And amen, what a blessing that it is even just to be able to be here today. Have your Bibles this morning, the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 8 and verse number 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for, Father, your watch care upon us. And we just ask you to help us this morning that we might be an able minister of the word of God. Speak to us. And Father, teach us and help us, I pray, from your word. Open up our hearts and our ears to hear and receive the word of God, that we might be blessed, that we might be helped, and Father, that we might be strengthened by it this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. I want to preach to you this morning on this thought, the stress test of life. The stress test of life. Now, when we hear the word stress test, it is a medical procedure that is used to assess the heart's function under exertion, a stress test. It helps to identify any underlying heart conditions that may not be apparent during rest. And so they do a stress test. They get you all wired up, and they put you on a treadmill, and they say, keep up, and away you go. And it starts, machines start running, and they start evaluating and things of that nature. Now, I heard one gentleman say that every test I ever took was stressful. I said, I can say amen right there. Amen. But the stress test, and I thought when I read that, just the definition, because I mean, I knew what the stress test, but they put it on there, they're trying to get the heart rate elevated and up and checking and see if there's something that needs attention. Is everything okay? Or is there something about our heart, our physical heart, that needs some attention? And they put us through that process. Well, if we look here in verse number 2, some things that we can see, it says in that verse number 2, it speaks about to know what is in thine heart. That God desires to know the things that are in our heart. That we go through the stress test of life, that we might notice some things in our life that when everything is quiet and peaceful and we're at rest, they're just not noticeable. Everything runs fine. And I've seen this in the lives of men and women under normal conditions. You would have thought that everything was well with them. And I'm talking about their spiritual affairs were, you know, seemed to be in order. And boy, then something happens. And all of a sudden, things begin to go off the rails. And amen. But see, it didn't just happen to other people. It's happened to us too. Things happen in life. What happened? God, amen, sometimes God, spiritually speaking, God wires us up and puts us on the treadmill. And amen, that thing takes off. And we don't like it. We don't like the direction that it's headed. And we don't like the stress that it puts us under. But what God's doing is the same thing spiritually that they're doing in the physical. They're looking to see how our heart's functioning. Amen. When it's under pressure, when it's stressed, when it gets elevated. And God, amen, said here of Israel that these 40 years, He said, I've tried you in the wilderness. So what did He do? He said, I wanted to know your heart. Amen. And so it is that God puts us, amen, in some situations and on the treadmill of life sometimes, and we wonder why, and amen, God's trying to reveal some conditions of our heart that, amen, needs to some attention. Needs some attention. When we get on that physical treadmill and we get off and the doctor says, well, listen, we got something right here that there's a problem. What do we do? Well, I'll see you in 3.5 months. Amen. That's what it seems like, you know. But amen, God's not that way. But see, here's the difference. When the doctor puts us on the treadmill and he says, you know, we've got a problem. We've got something here we need to see about and we need to address. We need to call it some attention needs to be put to this. Amen. We kind of wonder, well, how soon can we do this? We recognize that this is a serious matter if you're dealing with our heart. But when God puts us on the treadmill and we find something, a lot of times we ready just to get off the treadmill and we'll say we'll deal with that later. It's a serious condition. And God, number one and first of all, in these passages, God wants to see their heart and He wants to see our heart. That's what's going on here because that's exactly what He says in verse number 2. He says, you've been these 40 years, He said, in the wilderness to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what is in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep my commandments or no. We'd probably say, you know, whether thou would keep our commandments or not. And that's what God's telling them. This is what's going on the 40 years in the wilderness. So when things fall apart and the road gets rocky, would they obey God? Would they trust God? And would they praise God? No matter the circumstance, no matter what happened in life. And so He says, we've put you in this wilderness. And amen, and we've walked in those places and we walk in them even today. God deals with us. How is our heart? The Bible says, and we may read it in a minute, it talks about where does the issues of life, where do they really come from? They come from the heart. Amen, amen. And He said, so I wanted to know your heart. Now I thought about that and I want you to just think about that. God said, I wanted to know and prove you, I wanted to know your heart. I wanted to know your heart. Can I tell you something this morning? God knows your heart. So when the test comes and you get on that treadmill, God didn't have to put you on that treadmill to see what was in your heart. You know why you had to get on that treadmill to see what was in your heart? You know who He was actually showing the condition to? He was showing it to me and you. Because see, He knew. God knows. He knew the condition of their heart. He speaks here in this language, amen, as though somebody that's finding something out. But God already knew. Amen. It was us that needed to find out. I think a lot of times when God told Abraham to take Isaac up on that mountain, amen, and offer him for a sacrifice. And Abraham told his, he took and he went and he told the young men that went with him. He said, y'all wait here. Me and the lad, we're going to go yonder and worship and we're going to come again. God knew what was going to take place on that mountain. He knew exactly what was going to take place on that mountain. But amen, Abraham had to actually go through the experience for him to know what was going to happen on the mountain. And we have to go through the experience and the stress test of life, amen, to reveal our heart and what's in our heart. God knows, and God's just trying to work us. What's He wanting to do for us? What does God desire from me and from you? He desires to conform us to the image of His Son. And so there's some things in our life that needs, amen, some attention, some working out. And so God brings us around by the trials and the test of life. And God uses those trials to show us our heart. Sometimes they're just little trials, you know. Sometimes it just, you know, it's a trial of a hammer and a thumb. You know, that's come sudden and quick and unexpected, and it hurts. What's the Bible say about speaking and about our heart? You know, we say, well, God's just revealing to us and just showing us who we are. Listen, the Bible tells us, and I don't know that man really believes this about himself. The Bible says, God said the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? And boy, there's things in us that we probably ourselves would say, boy, I would never do that. You know what? I honestly believe that if you'd have told David 6 months before he did and committed what he had done with Bathsheba, her husband, and you'd have told David about that, he just said, son, I would never. But it was in there. It was in there. And there's a lot of things that, amen, is in this old flesh that God has to work out. And so he said for 40 years, he said, you've been in this wilderness and we've been working some things out, trying to prove and see what was in your hearts. Because God knew, just as he does today, we need to keep our heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life, to keep our heart with all diligence. Now, for us, we got a well of water out here. Most of us has got a well of water, and I mean, there might be a few that got city water, and we don't think that much of it, you know. I mean, we go to the tap there, we turn it on, we get the water, and we drink. But it wasn't that way in the East when they dug them wells, buddy. Them things was precious, and they didn't just dig it and then go on and leave it. But amen, they would set guards over them things to guard that well and to keep, amen, that water. And so, if they would do that to a well of water, what should we do to our hearts? God said, give all diligence to guard our hearts. We don't want our hearts to be tainted with the things of this world. We don't want it to be contaminated, amen, with the things of this world. We want it to be pure water. I mean, if I set a pretty glass of water up here and you was thirsty, you might sit there and just go, boy, it looks good. I wish he'd hurry up, I need to drink that. I mean, I got this bottle of water right here. That's good stuff. But I tell you what, I went fishing this week Tuesday, and if you just drop one wiggle worm down there in the bottom of it and just let her sit there, you could have it. I'd have to get mighty thirsty and mighty desperate before I picked it up. Why? Because it done got contaminated. I don't want it. I want a fresh bottle. I want a fresh bottle. Yet, God says of us in our hearts, He said, keep them clean. But He said to do that, you're going to be vigilant. You're going to be diligent. Because, boy, the world and the old enemy and the old flesh is constantly trying to put, they're trying to put some wigglers in our drinking water. They're trying to contaminate it. And He said, keep it with all diligence. And so He said here unto them, I'm trying to see how your heart is. What He's trying to do is, He said, He's trying to see how their heart is. He's trying to show us our condition. He's trying to show us those little things in our lives that, amen, God said, you need to deal with this. You need to deal with this. You know, what if I could say, what if we all could say that, you know, I obey God's word 99% of the time. That's a pretty good record. I mean, yeah, amen, you got that right better than most. But when I was in school, if I'd have had all 99s, I'd have been happy. I'd have wondered how in the world that happened, but I'd have been happy. if we could say, well, I obey most of the time, well, then there's something left for God to reveal in our heart. If we're only at 99%, amen, there's something that God could still, there's something that we need to see. There's something that we need to work on. Well, I trust God most of the time. Well, there's something in our heart then that we need to work on. If we only can trust God most of the time, well, I can praise God most all circumstances. Amen. What about all circumstances? And you see, God help us, because I'm afraid that there's not many that could even say that we've made it up to the 99 percentile. There's some things, and what's God doing? He's working on us. He's trying to show us these things of our heart that we might see and reveal. And so He puts us on the stress test of life, and these things happen and they come our way to reveal to us what it is that we need to do. But secondly, in these verses, He also wanted them to know that life is more than the physical things. Life is more than the physical things. And He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that He might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. What's it about? What's life about? It's about more than clothes and raiment and food and water. It's about more than that. Jesus was tempted and Satan came and spoke to Him and said, turn these stones into bread. But in Matthew 4:4, He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jesus answered the temptation by quoting the Word of God. And He's our example. And see, what He wanted them to know is, even if He starved to death, amen, He'd be better off as long as He obeyed God's Word. Boy, it was important. See, God hadn't given Him any direction. The Father hadn't spoke to Him in any manner and said, turn these stones into bread. That would have been something that He was just doing, amen, for self-gratification, amen. And He would not do that, amen. If the Father didn't direct it, amen, He didn't do it. Amen. And we learn that life is more than just bread. But it's the Word of God, the things that proceed out of the mouth of God, the eternal things. What are the eternal things? It's the things that I cannot even see. I mean, those are the eternal things. Things that we cannot see. Things happen in life, and, you know, it's happened to me in the past. It's probably happened to you. Maybe you've got upset about something that's happened, you know, that's going on. But then all of a sudden, in the midst of you being upset about this thing over here that, boy, just seemed like it was really important, something that was really important happened, and all of a sudden, what we was upset about over here, we slam forgot, and we recognized, and God showed us that right there that you were so worried about just a little bit ago, it don't mean nothing in comparison to this. God works, and He's showing us that there's more to this life than just the physical things. And a great deal is made in this life over what we have and what men have. But God wanted them to know that life is about more than what you can see and touch. It's more than the physical, but it is the spiritual. And God wants us to live in the spiritual realm. He wants us to live and to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And so He's bringing through this and bringing us through the stress test of life. You see, I put this in bold print in my notes. And it said, man is concerned with what men have. God is concerned with how we use what we have. Well, this world's all concerned with how much stuff you got. How big's the estate? How big is all the stuff that you collected up? I tell you what I've noticed, because here in the last year, I've been around to quite a few estate sales. And the man and the wife, they lived and they died. And their house, and maybe their barn, and their outbuildings is full of stuff that they enjoyed in life. Some of them had some collections of some stuff that they wouldn't have took anything for. And they couldn't get rid of it at the estate sale. It didn't mean anything else to anybody but them. And they were gone. And guess what it meant to them after they was gone? Nothing. Nothing. What are you saying? I mean, all I'm saying is God help us to... It's not all about what we have. Listen, Job had a lot of stuff and he used it the right way. Job owned his possessions. His possessions didn't own him. And that's what God wants from us. And to use what God's given us, how we use it. Amen. Because life is more than food and raiment. He said that's what we're finding out here on this stress test as we go through life. But then this last thing. He says also here in this verse, in verse number 5, he told them, he said that God chastens his own. God chastens his own. God chastens us to keep us from the things that would destroy us, and that is a good thing for us, no matter how bad it hurts. I was up at the sale the other night in Graceville and walking by some of them tables, and they had on there, they were hot plates, I guess, hot pads out of the wood and all. But the way they were shaped, they had a good solid handle, and they had a square face where you could set the pot down on, you know, and it was about 6 inches wide and about 8 inches long. It was good size. You could set a big old pot on there. But when I walked by the table, there was 3 or 4 people standing around talking, and they was looking at them things, and they was picking them up, and what they was discussing was what they could be used for. Not what they was designed for, but what they could be used for. And somebody said they'd be real good at the schoolhouse. You know why? Because they remembered it when they went to schoolhouse, that stuff that looked a lot like that was very popular. Amen. Not anymore. That's exactly right. Not anymore. It's not popular anymore. But you know what God does? God still uses them. Not just in the sense of the physical that we think about, but see, you know what he said he did to those that he loves? Not to those that he's angry with, not to those that he hates, not to those that he's looking to get even with, but he said to those that I love, he said, I chase them. Amen. The Bible talks about that chastening, about that getting in trouble, getting them whippings. It says that no chastening for the present. It don't seem very joyous. I never found much joy in it. I'm going to tell you right there in a moment. I didn't, not a bit. You know, and one thing that I used to hate, and I'll just throw this in free and we'll move on, is and my daddy's here, he'll say, I tell you what, boy, when I get you home, I'm going to, don't tell me that. Just let's go get it over with. Let's not put this off. Because if we put it off, amen, it's just going to get worse. Amen, the whooping might not be no worse, but boy, the dreading's going to make it a lot worse. Let's just get over with now. I figured if it hurt them worse, they'd smite and you're dead. Right. But see, here's the thing with God. Is he looked, and even as he stood at the tomb of Lazarus, it says that Jesus wept. He knew Lazarus was fixing to come. But he also knew that down through the years, millions and millions of people was going to take that same trek. They was going to take that same, just like I went to a funeral Friday, that they was going to have to go and they was going to have to bury a mama, a daddy, a brother, a sister. And tears was going to be shed, and amen, and it did break his heart. And there's a lot of things that happen in life that God has to chasten us for, puts us on the stress test, and it breaks God's heart. Listen, just like it does for you with your children, there's a lot of things that break our heart with our children that, boy, we wish we could fix, we wish we could, but we can't. But amen, God's working this morning on us, on His children, on His church. And He's put us in the stress test of life. As God puts us on the stress test of life, what is being revealed in our own hearts and our own lives? What is it that we need to, that God's trying to call some attention to for us? And I pray that if God's doing that for us, that we don't put it off, but we answer that call. As we stand this morning, every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, and while we wait just a minute as our sister plays, if you have a need, I pray you come. If God's speaking to your heart about something that needs dealing with, I pray that you come. I pray if God's speaking to you about salvation, I pray that you come. If God's calling you this morning, I pray that you come. While we wait just a minute, just ask you to obey the Lord this morning.